Want to stay up to date on the biggest stories in pop culture and entertainment? Then be sure to check out the TMZ podcast. I'm Charlie Cotton from TMZ, the TV show, and every day I'll sit down with a member of our news team to give exclusive breakdowns of the day's most talked about headlines, stories we break, and the stories you care about. So check out the TMZ podcast, Monday through Friday, and the other podcasts from the TMZ audio network like Last Days and TMZ Verified, available on all podcast platforms.
This episode is brought to you by Doghouse Systems at doghousesystems.com. Get a fantastic computer rig that'll play all the video games you throw at it, including everything that WoW has to offer, by going to doghousesystems.com right now and use the code FROGPANTS at checkout for a discount. That's doghousesystems.com, and by videoblocks.com/instance2016, where you can get a great deal on unlimited downloads of video stock footage and audio for podcasters. We'll talk a little bit more about a special deal in the middle of the show. That's videoblocks.com/instance2016. Goblins had sex at some point, and that's where the Murlocs came from. Am I wrong on that?
No. I don't know. I don't think so.
Tell me, sage wizard, what great thoughts on the history of Azeroth shall we find today in the Cave of Nothingness?
It's not what it looks like, honest. This is corruption all over me. I'm covered in my own corruption. I mean, it's the old gods. They have spun their silvery tendrils all over me. Do not judge. For I will tell you more of these old of gods, these nefarious creatures of taint and corruption.
Well, you had me at taint. Hey, everybody.
P.S. Delete my internet history. Let's do this.
Yeah, let's do this. Rule 34 in effect. It's the instance. And today, as you might surmise, if you've listened to the show previously or heard our last lore episode, it's me, Scott Johnson, and Mark the Terpster Turpin doing lore today.
That's what we're doing. Yeah. I think Judge Dredd said it best when he said,
"I am the law."
And I like to think that we collectively are the layman's law.
Yeah.
You know, there are some fantastic law providers out there, purveyors of law.
Yeah.
And I feel like we are the everymen of the law world.
I agree.
We enjoy it. We don't necessarily know all that much and certainly are not all that correct. But hopefully you have fun along with us, and that works out.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, we bring whatever the voice is that the instance has, we bring that to the table. I love
copious amounts of sound effects.
Yeah, all of that. And I also
port side.
I really like everything about World of Warcraft lore, and I love the history, but I'm also super newbie to it. Like, a lot of it I just don't know. I know a lot of the modern era things.
A lot of it you do know. You just don't know you know.
I just
don't,
yeah.
This is the thing is, when we talk about it, you're like, oh, well, you mean the guy in the, yeah, that guy. Yeah. Oh, I get it now.
You make all kinds of connections that I don't know yet, and that's kind of the purpose of this. And I think, listen, a lot of the feedback we got was, you guys tied together some knots I didn't know existed, and so we're doing that for the people, as well as me. But Terpster really is, you know, we're laying our sacrifice at his altar today.
Exactly, exactly. And clean yourself of corruption, for we're going to get elbow deep in the whispers of Ilganoth.
Ooh, Ilganoth. Now, hold on. Let's see. Like last time, let me see if I can tell you who Ilganoth is. Ilganoth is that big sort of phallic-looking eyeball thing that we talk to in the nightmare right now, right? Is that okay?
I guess so. I mean, he's actually the heart of corruption. So actually, it's the heart behind the big eyeball.
Is it the? It's not the thing. It's not the thing that what's his name? Stormrage is like Malfurion's like poking at with his leaves.
No. It's the. So when we go into Un'Goro Crater, in the dream, and it's all corrupted and it's all, you know, vines and tendrils everywhere. We go up to this this world tree, corrupted tree, and in there's a big eye and some other tendrils and stuff like that. And then once we DPS it down at the right time, it resolves and we see the heart of corruption, Ilganoth himself.
Right.
And so the idea is that this is a product of the old gods.
Is Ilganoth himself a old god, or he is made of?
He is a minion of the old gods. Right, I think we're going to say, just to kind of give it some broad strokes.
All right.
We're going to just decide that. I don't know that, but I feel like he's an informed guess.
Okay.
So I think he is a product of the old gods.
Yeah.
And the nightmare itself is a product of the old gods. The nightmare is their influence into the Emerald Dream, into that primordial dimension.
All right.
Where they've managed to seep in and start corrupting there as well. Mm. And it makes sense, obviously, that Dream, once corrupted, becomes a nightmare.
Ah, so this is an ancient entity, one of long before the Azeroth we know now, long before Malfurion went in there and said Duranda or any of that BS.
Yeah,
he's been in there pumping away in the nightmare
in some form. Yeah. The corruption has grown. It's been fought back a few times before in the novel Storm Rage.
Yeah.
Malfurion cleanses the dream, and that's when he comes back in like Cataclysm, and he's all like, he's back, baby. He also defeats Xavius, who, spoiler to that whole novel, it doesn't really matter because we're back there again. It's corruption. Xavius is back.
Yeah.
We now have to go in there and fix it all up. So it's. I like to think of Ilganoth as like a Bond villain. In the, very elaborate plan, but monologues and explains far too much.
Ah, so like the, I assume you'll be dead, yeah. Mr. Bond, that sort of thing. Where he's,
yes. Yeah. No, Mr. Bond, it's impossible for you to stop me now. The nuclear codes, whilst quite clearly displayed here, are no use to you, for in 3 minutes, you'll be out of oxygen. I'd love to stay and watch, but I have to go, for I need to get at least 2 minutes away. Farewell, Mr. Bond. And then, it's like, okay, well, I know, I understand now what I have to do.
Yeah. So he's a bit like that. That's interesting. But is he, so have we, what significant points in, let's say, the game world, either from original Warcraft, Orcs v. Humans, all the way up to World of Warcraft, outside of what we're seeing now, what other run-ins have we had with him? The cleansing thing, we had that, right? Didn't we get to see some?
We've had no run-ins with Ilganoth before.
Okay.
So old gods, just as a whole concept.
Yeah.
Didn't really exist before, really, like Warcraft 3. It's a Metzen thing.
Mm.
And I think that equally, Metzen stepping aside and Afra Sabi Abi, Alex Rabi Sabi Davi is kind of, he's shepherding in a new era for World of Warcraft lore.
Nailed the name, by the way. Just that, nailed it.
Again, very, very eloquent.
Yeah, good job.
As part of that process, he's winding up a lot of these stories. Now, he's been super heavily involved in the WoW lore since like 2004 anyway. So it's unfair to say that like this is a Metzen thing.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly the trajectory the story's going and the speed and pace we're now getting in terms of ticking off some of these big bads and also losing some of the big goods we've got is really kind of opening up for Afrasiabi's his own kind of heroes and cool things to do. The Void, for example, being a really exciting thing that is kind of really been introduced more recently as a concept as to where certain things came from, and more bad stuff to come from there. Ilganoth, he is a product of N'Zoth. So N'Zoth is one of the four old gods that reigned on Azeroth. So N'Zoth is the only one we've yet to see in World of Warcraft, or at least see an element of. Ysaj, we saw his heart. Garrosh threw it into the well in the Vale of Eternal Blossom. Yogg-Saron, obviously, we defeated in Northrend, and C'Thun, we defeated in Silithus. So we've encountered all of them bar N'Zoth.
And N'Zoth is like what? He reminds me like a, what's the big tentacle face thing that everyone's terrified?
It's like, Cthulhu.
Cthulhu,
meets,
right.
Yeah. I think N'Zoth is the most Cthulian of all of them in terms of the concepts we've seen. Equally, he's underwater.
Right.
He's the old god that corrupted the Highborn from the Sundering and turned them into Naga. He's the old god that influenced the Nightmare. He's a like a, I mean, all of the old gods had a touch on the Nightmare. I think Yogg-Saron as well worked hard. And the thing is, Yogg, I think Yogg is probably my favorite old god. Mm. Like, I feel like he busted ass the whole time. He was always working. C'Thun was more like, yeah, man, I'm going to make a load of, like, insectoid armies, and I'm going to fight against other old gods,
right,
and then the Titans. Whereas, you know, Yogg was always like, you know, he was playing chess while the others be playing checkers.
It did,
you know?
it did feel like, yeah, he was his heart was beating to its own beat. Like, he had his own ideas and was kind of playing by old god rules, but sort of had his own ambitions, maybe.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so I really hope that we haven't seen the last of Yogg, because, yeah, whilst we defeated him, yeah, it's that whole question of whether or not we can truly defeat an old god. We don't really know. We don't know if they're dead properly. Some people are saying, like, C'Thun is dead, mm, in the comics, which had a character called Madan in, that's since been kind of said, like, yeah, he's not going to be in the game. Mm. It's a stupid character.
Do you think it's, I mean, okay, so the old gods, their physical representation in the game, which are these big, oily, tentacle creatures with, yeah, way, yeah, too many teeth and eyeballs.
Covered in corruption.
Sure, they're just disgusting manifestations. The physical manifestations of these old gods leads me to think that they could be whatever. They're not limited to their physical form, right? Like, they could be someplace else or inhabit something, right? Like, that.
Maybe. Maybe. A lot of things in Warcraft seem, yeah, only to die on their plane.
Mm.
So, like, you know, like, you can only kill a demon in the Twisting Nether.
Yeah.
You can only defeat an elemental lord on the elemental plane. It's why when we defeated Ragnaros in Molten Core, we got to fight him again in Firelands, mm, because that was on his turf.
Yeah.
Now Ragnaros is gone. And as part of the Shaman class hall, you get to find a new Fire Lord. And you're like, yeah, we're going to put you in charge now, Fire Lord, assuming you're cool to us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there seems to be a kind of pattern there. As to the old gods and if they have a plane of existence that isn't our own,
mm,
I don't know. I think their plane is our plane, because I think that whilst they're creatures and products of the void, I'm pretty sure they're kind of our reality and
all right,
world.
So if they die here, they're dead.
That's the thought, at least. But okay, the thing is the Titans can't kill old gods,
right,
or couldn't, because they got big Mars bar fingers. You know, they haven't got the dexterity to get in there. You know, they were taking big chunks out of the planet and wounding Azeroth, and Azeroth's like, Jesus, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, sorry, my bad.
Yeah.
Whereas we're like nanobots. You know, we can go in there. We've got our little scalpels, our little ash bringers, and we can just slice them up and cut them out.
That is a really fascinating concept. I've never heard that before. The idea that the reason we as Heroes of Azeroth can excise these horrible creatures / entities from the place is because it's the nanobot theory is super interesting. I'd never considered that, because in my head I was always like,
you got to consider, we started off as robots.
Yeah.
Most of the cool races, yeah, except obviously trolls,
right,
pure race.
We were stone golems and metal
exactly
things, and yeah.
So anyway,
that's super cool.
So we as players, we come across this creature Ilganoth, in this corrupted nightmare, mm-hmm, of N'Goro Crater.
Yeah.
So he's there, big scary eye. We defeat it, we find his heart. Basically, he whispers to us.
Yeah.
And he says some scary lines.
His eye looks like a vagina. I just want to put it out there.
It is a very vaginal eye.
It's a big vaginal eye.
Which I am all for. I had a blog website,
mm,
with Mike Schramm back in the day called Wangs of Warcraft,
where
we used to accept submissions from people where you would just take a screenshot of one of the many phallic things in Warcraft, and
mm-hmm,
there are hundreds and thousands of phallic inspired objects in World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
You know, some of my favorites were just like things like Karazhan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at that from the side, it's a big wiener. so many rock formations. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
So he says some cool things.
Yeah.
And I will read them out.
All right.
And then we'll dive into them.
All right.
And we can talk. This is post BlizzCon, so we know a bit more about what 7.1.5 and 7.2 brings, and we even know what 7.3 brings.
Mm-hmm.
But this hopefully bridges the gap between those things.
Right.
I can also talk to some of the sort of the more off the record conversations I had at BlizzCon.
Oh, good.
In terms of I, in some way, hopefully kind of adding fuel to certain fires. We'll see. But at the same time, I don't want to get anyone in trouble.
Right, right.
Mainly me. Anyway, so Ilgunoth says, and I don't know, I could let you, I could send you a link to, there's like a YouTube video where someone's just taken it.
No.
Do you want to play them?
Yeah, I totally can. Do you have this somewhere?
Do
you have
that,
this?
Yeah, I'll do that now. I just got to figure out how I bring up the chat to you. Hang on. I got it.
Put it in there Skype? Okay. So.
I think it's like the first 1 minute 30 of that. I don't even know if that's in the right order.
Okay.
Because I think it's all over the place. But anyway.
All right, let's play this. And
have
also
a listen to that.
I'll also show the chat. You can see this in real time. So here we go. I'm gonna play this for you.
The boy king serves at the master's table. Three lives will he offer you. Her heart is a crater, and we have filled it. The King of Diamonds has been made a pawn.
Okay, quick question as this goes.
Mm-hmm.
Are we hearing... These are the whispers, right?
These are the whispers of the old gods.
And who in the world of Azeroth is taking a line like "the King of Diamonds has been made a pawn"? Who's taking that and interpreting it? Is this all up to Guardian dude of Khadgar?
This is us. This is speaking to us.
All right, so he's talking to us.
And what this is for us. And I spoke to Dave Cossack about this.
Yes.
At BlizzCon.
Yeah.
And I shook his hand because I said that this is some of the best writing that I have ever experienced in World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Mainly due to the fact that all of these can be interpreted in so many different and valid ways that it's like a perfectly crafted riddle for the game of World of Warcraft.
Yeah, and also Legion is so much more riddly. Like there's mystery, there's RNG but dressed up like mystery, and unexplored things that no one knew about. There are weapon appearances that you have to figure out, and like it's so this
hidden
is
and
yeah
it's
there's
not,
a lot of
it,
hidden in this
I
one.
I think the big drive with Legion was to bring the unknown back to Warcraft,
right?
To create a sense of wonder and something that's bigger than you can comprehend. And I feel like Legion has done that so very well.
I agree.
So
what does it mean when I say, okay, I'll keep playing it. We're going to keep going here.
At the hour of her third death, she ushers in our coming.
Who? Now, who's that? Who's he talking about?
Well, again, there's a couple of people that in theory fit that mold. So let's keep listening.
Okay, all right. I'm getting so excited. I want to say that's Jaina. I want to say... Okay, all right. Here we go.
From the earth, he draws strength. Our earth.
Thrall.
Our strength. Its surface blazes bright, masking shadows below. To find him, drown yourself in the Circle of Stars.
All right. Oh, sir, wait. Circle of Stars. That's a thing in Legion, is it not? Isn't there a zone or a thing? A Circle of Stars? Why is that ringing a bell? Chat room? That's what you're here for. Am I wrong on that?
Keep listening, Scott.
Oh, I'm thinking a Court of Stars. All right, sorry. Here we go.
Getting a Court of Stars, but...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, there's more. There's more.
Five keys to open our way. Five torches to light our path.
Bring me five rat pelts and I'll give you some gold.
Flesh is his gift. He is your true creator.
All right.
The Lord of Ravens will turn the key.
That sounds like Khadgar or freaking Medivh, right?
Oh.
Okay. Medivh. Spirit of Medivh. All right, I'll keep going.
I think that's it.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
All right. So, so
that's fine. So then that just starts playing all the kind of the fight stuff.
Right.
Right at the end of that, if you click to the very end of that video, sort of like 10 seconds from the end,
yeah,
you play one more bit just for fun.
Here we go.
What pointless impudence. We share a master.
All right.
Here we go.
Every blow struck at our heart. heart will be repaid a thousandfold.
This is definitely
the last line. Not this one.
Okay, this one.
Out! Out! You are not yet worthy.
Not this one, the next one. We'll get there.
All right.
Still you fight. Still you refuse the gift.
Not this one, the next one.
All right.
We'll get there. So, what's the very last one?
I journey to Nile.
Boom, that one.
Okay. Whoops. Sorry. The Nazoth, I journey to Nyalotha. Explain what the hell that means.
So Nazoth is the final old god we've yet to meet.
Yeah.
And do you know where he lives?
I'm going to guess in the void. No?
Nyalotha, baby.
Oh, Nyalotha is the... Oh, okay.
So
where
thing
the hell
is that? The weird thing is that, again, it's meant to be kind of underwater or underground. Hopefully underground, because... Dear Lord, I don't want another underwater zone.
Wait a minute. You didn't like Vagina Schmear or whatever it was called?
No, I didn't really enjoy Pap Smear. No, I thought that it was not necessarily the same enjoyment that I thought I might have from a fully 3D experience.
Yeah, but it gave you that great seahorse mount that you can't use anywhere else.
Yeah, exactly. Well, when you got that many mounts, who cares?
Yeah.
Right. So, Scott, hopefully you've been titillated by these evil whispers of Ilganoth.
I love it.
Now, first things first, old gods, they do talk to us.
Yeah.
And old gods don't often tend to lie. Mm. As silly as that is.
It's all riddles, though, right? It's all riddles
and
stuff?
They might have a perspective on it.
Yeah.
But, for example, when we were in the mind of Yogg-Saron and we were shown these visions, we were shown scenes that actually happened.
Yeah.
So we saw Arthas trying to break Bolvar. We saw the assassination of King Lane. We saw, things that actually happened.
Right.
There's also, you get a puzzle box of Yogg-Saron, which is a toy item that talks to you and whispers to you. And there's even stuff there which was dropped all the way back in Wrath that ties up with some of these whispers as well.
Mm.
So it's been a long play. It's a long con, and I love it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so... Let's drill down into it. Do you want to go back to the beginning?
Yeah.
And we're playing your pause after each line.
Okay. So here goes.
Boom.
Here's the beginning. Wait. Okay, here we go.
The boy king serves at the master's table. Three lives will he offer you.
All right. Boy king. Can I make a guess and then you tell me?
Hit me.
Okay. Dad's died here. We got the King
Anduin.
Anduin is your boy king.
Okay.
Three lies. I don't know what those lies are going to be. One will be priests are viable in Hearthstone again. Line number one.
Yep. Could be.
Line number two. Shadow priests piss everybody off because we don't have a healer.
Good point.
Line number three.
Mage. God damn it.
Oh yeah, true. And line number three is my hair is way cooler in this expansion than it was in the previous ones.
Really?
Those are the three lies.
No, it's definitely a lie. I don't like it. So
clearly, I don't know. I don't know what these lies would be. Okay.
No, exactly. All right. I disagree because of it being Anduin.
Yeah.
Like Anduin is a boy king, but does he serve at the master's table?
Mm.
Now, potentially, in that shadow priests. Now they gain their shadow powers from the void.
Mm.
So the void is the world and the area of the old gods. So serving at the master's table isn't necessarily kind of drinking the Kool-Aid, but potentially it could mean Anduin. Three lies he will offer you. Anduin just doesn't really strike me as the corrupted type. We also know that from a comic released online that Anduin and Valen are the kind of the leaders of the Army of the Light.
Yeah.
Like 50-60 years from now.
Mm.
So.
Oh, well, okay. But hold on a second. I just thought of something as the allegory here, and I don't know if they were trying to reference this directly, but in biblical times, Peter denies Christ three times.
Three times.
And he is his greatest lieutenant. He is his most loyal. He is the one who will always be true.
Except when that cockerel crowed and he was like, ah, Damn it! Oh, I did it, didn't I? Oh, he said I was.
Stupid
he
roosters.
He told me I was going to do it, and exactly. I still did it.
So I guess what I'm saying...
Did I do it because he told me?
Do you think they would go so far, the story team, as to try to make an obvious...
Rewrite the Bible, yes.
Well, to make like an obvious reference like that.
So I think the boy king actually refers to Rathian, who is the black dragon that has been kind of the reason we're fighting the Legion now. So Rathian...
Oh, he was in the Panda expansion. You had to talk
exactly.
to him.
Yeah, so Mr. Pandaria, he was like, okay, Alliance and Horde, you need to... You know, put your petty squabble away. We got a bigger thing coming. We got the legions coming.
Yeah.
So we started being kind of trying to mobilize for that, and then that didn't work out because we ended up fighting the Horde. You know, he tried to help us do that. Then we didn't take out the Horde. He basically wanted one side to win.
Yeah.
So the distraction was gone. So that then when the Legion came, whoever was left was focused.
Right.
So then he comes up with another plan. He comes up with the idea of Garrosh and Khorataz, or whatever his name was, a bronze dragon, to open up an alternate timeline and link it into the main timeline that is ours. And that's where we had Warlord of Draenor. He didn't really show up in that expansion. He was there for like a very brief second during the legendary quest line when you're getting your ring made. Literally, there's like a dragon above and then he flies off. And originally, he was going to be a lot more involved. Equally, in Legion, he was meant to be basically Ebonhorn in High Mountain. But they realized that didn't really make sense to have this young baby dragon who'd apparently been with the Taurens for hundreds of years. So they introduced Ebonhorn. But in doing so, have kind of fleshed out that black dragon fight somewhat, because now we have two uncorrupted black dragons, which is interesting. So the boy king serving at the master's table could mean that actually the whole reason the Legion's here is actually because of Rathian. You know, him trying to stop the Legion or trying to prepare us for the Legion led to Warlords of Draenor, which led to Gul'dan, which led to Gul'dan inviting a Legion to Azeroth. So the very thing he was trying to prevent, he actually brought into fruition.
You think those are and the three lies then? Like those are the...
Well, potentially those are lies, and they might not be his lies.
Right.
They may be the lies of the old gods, such as, hey, if you do this, it will stop the Legion. Whereas actually by doing it, we brought the Legion upon ourselves.
Yeah.
So potentially, but equally, it could be Anduin. There's no one to say either way. That's the beautiful thing about these. So it poses up some questions.
Okay. I would have never guessed Rathian would have anything to do with that particular quote, but I like where you're coming from.
But exactly. And that's the thing. I think, you know, it's a good debating practice here.
Yeah.
Is I think that if you want to practice debating, then you should be able to argue any of these points and prove yourself to be a master debater. Let's play the next clip.
All right, here's the next clip.
Her heart is a crater, and we have filled it.
All right, her heart. Is that... Okay, guess time. Azeroth itself.
I like that.
Okay.
I like that.
All right.
Maybe. do you want to guess anyone else?
Let's go Jaina Proudmoore.
Boom.
Okay.
Those are my two picks as well. I like that. So basically, her heart is a crater. The Well of Eternity we talked about on the first show is literally a crater made from where the Titans ripped out Yasage, and the Titan's soul, Azeroth, her life force spilt out into that, creating the pool, which was later calmed into the Well of Eternity, this great font of power. So potentially, her heart is actually a crater, and we have filled it. So are the old gods corrupting the heart, you know, the Well of Eternity, which now is kind of at the bottom of the maelstrom? You know, it was blown up in the Sundering. So is there something going on down there? Maybe. Maybe it's also Jaina Proudmoore, whose city was turned into a crater, which kind of drove her slightly insane.
Yeah.
And some people, you know, joke about Jaina being a dreadlord because she did a kind of a real 180 on being like, you know, Varian, please, no, the Horde, they're our friends, to dismantle the Horde, Varian. She's just lost Varian. He died. That's upset her. The whole kind of alliance has kind of disagreed with her regarding like cooperating with the Horde. And then Dalaran, which was her kind of her new home, have basically said, nah, we're going to let the Horde in as well, Jaina. And she's like, well, I'm out then. Even her boyfriend, the blue dragon, what's his name?
Oh,
Corey, whatever. We're going to call him Corey.
Yeah, Corey.
He has stayed in Dalaran as one of the Council of Six.
Right.
So she could be potentially quite lonely and vulnerable.
Mm.
She's a very powerful mage, very attractive woman as well.
Yeah.
And so quite dangerous if the hole in her heart has been filled by the corruption and evil whisperings.
Okay, I like that theory because for two reasons. One, she's in a place of, she's been so mad for so long about this Theramore business, and you can't even click on her without her yelling at you. Like, she's just pissed all the time.
She is angry.
And also underutilized as a plot point in the story for the last couple expansions
outside of the Theramore thing. Do we want another corrupted character?
Well,
like, do we?
No,
like, I don't know.
No.
Maybe we do, maybe we don't.
The answer is we don't, I don't think. But this is more interesting to me because I don't think it's just simply, oh, she's corrupted. Now she's got green tentacles coming out of her for the boss fight. I don't think it's that simple. I think in her case, it may be a more Sylvanas sort of tact where the curse is the curse. And now you just got to do what you got to do. And I don't know what she has to do, but I feel like it's more Jaina and not some corruption controlling her. It will be her making some... you know, going Magneto a little bit.
I can see that kind of being almost, yeah, exactly, going kind of, you know, Dark Phoenix on us.
Yeah, yeah.
Just being like, oh, man, how are we meant to stop that?
Yeah.
some people think it could be Sylvanas, just because she's quite upset as well.
Mm-hmm.
And all we know is that it's a she and they have a heart. So who knows? Who knows? But interesting that the old gods are interacting with a lady.
Mm.
So who knows what the future holds?
they've interacted with the ladies before, right? I mean,
well, exactly. I'm just saying that's all we can really for sure garner from that line.
Now
is something quite boring, but let's continue to speculate.
Could you say what if the she they're referring to is Azeroth itself? There's been a lot of things alluding to the idea that Azeroth itself is a Titan. That it is
what
an
it is.
Entity.
We know that Azeroth is a Titan.
Okay.
So one of the things I talked about in the last episode was about Dave Cossack said that Azeroth is dead and that we, the Denzians of the planet, are of Azeroth and its soul. And we've grown up with the Well of Eternity and all these other things that mean that we are kind of infused by the Titans themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Azeroth was the mightiest of the Titans ever discovered, just never awoke. And so I got a chance to chat to Dave, and I kind of asked him, and he stands by his statement in that he says, you know, I don't expect, and he still called it him to be walking around with Stormwind on his back.
Mm.
And that I was like, oh, man, I always imagine it more like maybe like an egg where like, you know, maybe they could, you know, just kind of essence out of that egg without destroying the egg and then be a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think his was a far more kind of literal, like sort of like you lift your head up and that mountain range is your spine.
You are the best. You are. If you unfold, you are like Gaia. You are this big earthen.
Exactly. And so that's at least his interpretation now. Obviously, Dave's one of the lead writers on World of Warcraft, so I think his interpretation definitely carries some weight. As far as he said, I feel that what I said had already been said in the book Chronicles, and that he wasn't saying anything new. He was merely just stating what had been stated.
Yeah.
So if Azeroth has been corrupted, mm-hmm. I think that it's already dead. So I don't know. It's not to say there isn't power in Azeroth. Obviously, mm-hmm. there's a huge amount of power in Azeroth. We continue to draw it. The Sun Well and other wells of eternity have all been very powerful. So who knows?
The idea of filling it, though, like filling it, it lends itself well to a spherical, Titan-esque, dead or not planet, you know?
Yep, it could be.
That's
it
all I'm
really
saying.
Fun.
Just the visual works for me, but maybe that's not where they were going, you know?
Like who knows?
I lean more toward the Jaina thing if I'm being...
I don't know. I think I'm thinking more potentially Azeroth. I think you're probably right in terms of, like, you know, we're in the Well of Eternity. That well that exists at the bottom of the Maelstrom now, that's our base.
Right.
We are in the heart of the strongest font of power there's ever been.
Mm. It's intense, man, what you just
said.
It
is. Let's hear the next one.
Next quote. Here we go. Next quote.
The King of Diamonds has been made a pawn.
Okay. The King of Diamonds has
Boom.
Been made a pawn.
This one's not as mysterious, I don't think.
Okay.
But...
All right. Let me think. King of Diamonds has been made a pawn.
I mean, also, it's kind of like, guys, that's... You're confusing chess and poker. It's
totally.
It's yeah.
Totally. That's all weird. I can think about. All right. Has been made a pawn. The King of Diamonds has been made a pawn. So this has got to be somebody significant. Who's the King of Diamonds? Like, I don't know who that would be. I can't.
So, excuse me. So, King of Diamonds, most people leap to Magni Bronzebeard,
okay.
who was the king of Ironforge,
oh.
but when communicating with the Earth,
yeah.
Azeroth herself, he turned into a diamond.
Yeah.
So people are like, okay. Now, he's also the guy that came back at the start of this expansion, and we were like, oh, sweet, he's alive. And he's like, oh, Bran, I've been chatting to Azeroth herself. She's a Titan. And it's like, oh, okay. Well, hang on. Is she alive? Do we know this? Don't we know this? Anyway, he's like, she's told me about the pillars of creation. We need to go and find them.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, okay.
Shit, some music for that. Hold on.
Should we? Okay.
Okay, here we go. All right. So anytime
I'm
you
done.
Do. Okay, you're but, done. Okay, never mind.
I'm just thinking, should we be trusting what you're saying?
Yeah.
And further whispers, future whispers, will potentially bring this into question.
But hold on, you don't think when he says he's been made a pawn, you don't think that means that literally we turned him into diamond, and so he's just a worthless pawn now. Like,
no, I think he's their pawn, he's their instrument.
Oh man, that's a bummer.
The King of Diamonds mm-hmm. has been made the old god's pawn.
Okay.
He's been deceived.
All right,
he's not talking to the Titan. He's not talking to Azeroth.
Mm.
He's talking to N'Zoth. He's talking to the corrupt whispers that are saying, oh, yes, fetch me those 5 handguns over there, and I won't shoot you, I promise.
I swear.
And so,
what is his current state?
If you've got to think about them being imprisoned,
yeah.
it'd be like, oh, yes, go fetch me a crucible. Some lead, a mold of the key for the lock that imprisons me.
Yeah.
Some fire and a distraction for yourself. And that will save you, I promise. And so we will see.
Is that still his state? Is he still a...
He's still made of diamonds.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
When we left him in the pre-expansion content, we went to Alduar with him, where we fought some old gods and some demons and stuff that were still kicking around Alduar.
Mm.
And we went to Algalon's room where Magni found out more about the pillars of creation.
That's totally true. Okay, so we think maybe he's our man.
So that seems to be the most likely and literal translation.
All right, next
now,
whisper. Oh, keep going.
Some people think potentially it could be Prophet Vaehn.
Oh.
Who basically, his spaceship is like a giant diamond.
Sure.
And he's a little bit angry post Rikishi or whatever his name is, his son dying.
Yeah.
And thusly maybe he's been made a pawn.
Oh, my.
But I'm not sure. I think it's far more likely it's Magni. And
it'd be a real bummer if it was Velen, because if you've got, if the only keeper of the light, the only true defender of the light is Anduin, we're screwed.
Yeah, exactly. And to be honest with you, again, we at least know that in like 50, 60 years, Velen's standing aside Anduin and they're about to partake in the final battle
right
between light and darkness.
Yeah.
So who knows? Who knows?
Yeah.
But anyway, I think that one's a kind of an easier one to brush over.
Yeah, the diamond part and Magni had not occurred to me, but now it all makes sense. All right, here's your next quote.
At the hour of her third death, she ushers in our coming.
I'm going to say that's Sylvanas.
Well, I think that's probably most likely correct. Now, the thing that's tripped people up is Sylvanas technically has already died three times. Mm. If you count her first death.
Well, hold on. So let me get this straight. So, she does. Tell us all three deaths. What do we know?
So Sylvanas died at the beginning,
when
Arthas killed her.
Right.
Then she died again once we killed Arthas. She threw herself off the top of Ice Crown, being all like, you know, what more do I have to live for?
Sure.
You know, other than this existence. In doing so, she met the Valkyr, and the Valkyr basically said, "Well, we haven't got anyone now who's kind of that we're working with. You know, we were with the Lich King. How about we raise you back up and, you know, we work with you?"
So they didn't catch her midair. She died and then they brought her back.
As far as I understand.
Okay.
As far as I understand. Right. And
because those guys are always, the Valkyr are always grabbing shit, you know?
Exactly. And the thing is, you see her use them at the end of the Broken Shore when, you know, Vol'jin's broken his tooth. He's like, oh! He's done a Patrick Beja, we call it in the business, where he's broken his tooth on foreign soil. He doesn't have a dental plan out there. Lisa needs braces, dental plan. And so she toots on her horn, and the Valkyr come down and, you know, airlift him out, abandoning the alliance in a moment of need.
Yeah.
So she made a deal with them. They start resing up dead people to join the Forsaken. And Garrosh back in the day was like, you know, this is wrong. You know, you're no different from the Lich King himself.
Yeah.
But say the V. And then she died again in Gilneas from an arrow, I believe.
When did that happen?
I'm pretty sure. I'm going to try and look that one up, actually, because
I don't remember this at all. I remember the other two. Are clear to me, although the Valkyr saving her part, I don't know what the process was, but I don't remember this arrow business.
I'm going to do Sylvana Gilneas death.
Yeah.
And we'll see.
And okay, well, I have a question about that. We all know about in Legion that really epic moment between her and Gilneas Pete.
Because she shot an arrow at him that his son dove in front and took the blow. His son died.
Right.
And so that's why I think that was his opportunity there again to kind of take that arrow as he did.
Take the arrow and take her Valkyr, like remove her, like leave her exposed.
That's her and her people's way of surviving.
Yeah.
You know, they don't reproduce. They don't have a way to replenish their numbers that get destroyed by the Legion and other conflicts.
Yeah.
So
doesn't matter how attractive your rotting undead person is, they cannot reproduce you know, the way we do.
There you go. So as the three fled back to the safety of Gilneas, Godfrey did the unthinkable and assassinated Sylvanas Windrunner. In shock, the Horde group had a short duel with Godfrey's trio until they were overpowered and forced to fall back to Shadowfang Keep. Comcrush ordered the Valkyr to fix the Banshee Queen, but in doing so, they sacrificed themselves in the process to bring her back. The Dark Lady rose again, furious with rage at Godfrey's betrayal, and believed that the Valkyr were indeed the future of the Forsaken.
Wow.
With that, she returned to the Undercity to recover. The Alliance forces fell back to Gilneas, and the invasion of Silverprime was over.
Wow. So again, the Valkyr, right, raising her from her doom. Is that the deal?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So
but
she's technically already died.
That's three.
Okay. That is three.
Do we count her first one, where she actually died to become the undead Sylvanas? Is High Elven Sylvanas or Blood Elf Sylvanas? No, High Elf, it would have been. Is she the same as undead Sylvanas?
Oh, good point. Good point. Yeah, because technically Sylvanas, the Dark Lady, this would the upcoming death of whatever this speaks of could be her third death.
And then equally, would her killing herself at the top of Ice Crown, which kind of happened in like a short story, I think, or a book, does that count? Are we keeping with that one?
Yeah,
but
I don't know.
It's that sort of thing where who knows? But the whisper saying in the hour of the her third death ushers in our what was it say at the hour of her third death?
Yeah,
she ushers in our coming. But we know it's a she, and so I personally like the idea that it is Sylvanas, and that when we go to Argus, maybe she makes another sacrifice out there to defeat the Legion, seal the portal, or something to that effect.
Sure.
But in doing so, ushers in the coming of the old gods.
By the way, Argus as a topic, I think, should be a future lore conversation in and of itself, because I know so little about Argus. I don't really understand.
No, exactly. I mean, we don't know all that much about it, in all fairness.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that they're definitely going to tell us more as we lead up to it, because they're going to want everyone who's playing it to understand what this is and why it's a big deal.
Right.
But anyway, also, there's the end boss in the upcoming raid.
Yeah.
The one in Suramar. What's it called?
Withering Jim's House of Pleasure.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's what it is.
Whatever
Withering
it is.
Jim's House of Pleasure.
Yeah.
Hang on. Suramar.
Suramar raid. 7.2? No.
It's 7.1, isn't it?
Oh, 7.1. Is it 1?
Yeah. Nighthold.
Oh, Nighthold. Yeah, it's Nighthold. I keep thinking 7.1 is the half patch, but that's 7. No, where are we? We are in 7.1. It is 7.2.
This should be 7.15, isn't it? Isn't that when we get the Nighthold?
Oh, I don't know.
7.2 is Tomb of Sargeras.
I don't remember. It's something like that. Anyway, we're getting
so
all that
Nighthold
stuff.
Nighthold has such fights as Gul'dan, Tychondrius, Dreadlord, some really huge dudes, but also has Grand Magistrix Elisandre. She is the one who's cast a lot in with the Legion.
Yeah.
And thrown out our Nightfallen friends.
Yeah.
She's the boss. In the fight...
I thought Ashara was the boss in this fight. No?
No. Ashara's like the Naga queen, and we won't fight her just yet.
Okay, all right.
But the Magistrix, she rewinds time in the fight. So what we know from the Dungeon Journal is that we, in essence... kill her three times.
Oh,
potentially.
Interesting.
And so, again, I don't know quite how that's going to play out. Equally, does rewinding time count as dying? I don't know. And so I kind of feel like either it's fudgy math with Sylvanas, or it's kind of fluffy definition of dying with Elisandre.
Sure.
Elisandre. Alessandra? I don't know.
Alex Straza. Alex.
Yeah, exactly.
Keaton. Alex P. Keaton.
Either way, that the hour of their third death ushers in the old gods coming.
All right.
So it kind of feels that if that were to happen in 715 or even 7.2, kind of feels like that would be a bit odd for us. Then we know in 7.3 we're going to Argus. Would we really go there if we had like an old god on Azeroth?
Yeah.
I like the idea that actually 7.3 is maybe the final expansion for Legion.
Mm.
And then 8 is all about the Abyss, N'Zoth, and all of that. So
do you think, you worry that stuff's
Sylvanas
too,
you, has got a third death?
Do you worry that stuff's too like H.P. Lovecraft, like too, like a whole expansion based around tentacle creatures?
Because there's so many things about it. You know, the Naga, the Nightmare, the Old Gods, the insectoid races we've had before.
Sure.
I just think there's a huge amount going on that we've yet to really kind of dip into.
All right. It does seem like a nice flow to that, because what we're dealing with now is, oh, the ultimate baddie is the Legion. Oh, that's what you think. But what really is this other thing?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. What this is so far telling us is quite potentially we've been played.
Yeah.
And throughout the whole process, even the Legion coming here was part of an old god plan to mobilize us to gather up these pillars of creation, to unlock their final prison of N'Zoth, to unleash N'Zoth on Azeroth once again, to have the Black Empire return.
It's also it's entirely possible that the Legion is also being played, right? Like, it isn't just
very
us.
Possibly, yeah, very possibly, and that's what will be interesting to see what happens when we go to Argus and what they know, what Kil'jaeden the Deceiver himself thinks.
Yeah.
So we will see.
Okay, we need to stop right here for just a second, take a quick break, and when we come back, more Whispers from the Old Gods. All right, fellow video and audio entrepreneurs, people that are making cool content out there. One of the problems we run into is we need stuff like, I don't know, lower thirds and intros and background stuff and better green screen plans. And listen, I understand if that's all you're doing is making that stuff, great. But then when do you have time to actually do the video production? So what do? You go online, you try to find a sort of stock footage, stock audio kind of place. We've all tried. We've all been there. We've all done it. I am here to tell you the best deal I have found and the most versatile I found is VideoBlocks. It's an affordable subscription-based stock media site that gives you unlimited access to premium stock footage, be that video or audio blocks, which is what they call their unlimited access to premium stock audio clips. So podcasters, listen up. You've got a really great value with unlimited download models, and I like that. I don't want to pay for, oh, you get access to it for a day, or you only have access to this particular category, and they have it all segmented out. No, it's unlimited. Unlimited daily downloads from a library of 115,000 plus video clips, After Effects templates, motion backgrounds, and more. AudioBlocks alone has 130,000 plus music tracks, sound effects, loops, all that stuff. On average, subscribers played less than $1 per download over the course of a year. That is really incredible. I'm going to totally use these guys. I am using these guys. What am I saying? I'm totally using it now. You can expect some video stuff from me coming soon on YouTube using content I got from VideoBlocks. It's the same quality you'd get from expensive stock sites at a much cheaper price. And they are continuously adding new stuff all the time. You're looking for aerials, international locations, slow motion, nature shots? It's all in there. Simple, unrestricted licensing on VideoBlocks and AudioBlocks. Almost said audiobooks. I meant AudioBlocks. Everything is 100% royalty free, even after the subscription has come to an end. So that stuff doesn't suddenly DRM up and you can't use it. Once you're in, you get the stuff. Royalty free for both personal and commercial projects without any additional licensing fees. Nothing annual. Nothing at all. So here's what I want you to do. VideoBlocks is offering my listeners a year's subscription to both VideoBlocks and AudioBlocks for $149 total. That is $100 off the usual price tag. That is for Instance listeners only. An incredible discounted deal. And you get both all that stock video and audio for any project you may be working on or have planned for the future. Get your year subscription today for only $149 at videoblocks.com/instance2016. That's videoblocks.com/instance2016. Go there today. These guys are awesome.
Anyway, let's play the next line.
Next line.
From the earth, he draws strength.
I think that's talking about...
Still got a bit more. Our earth, our strength.
Oh.
But that's fine.
Oh, they say more there? Hold on.
Yeah, yeah.
Our earth, our strength.
Okay, that does matter. So, but are we talking about Thrall there? Because earth and elementals...
I mean, I like
and,
that. I like that. Thrall hasn't really featured much in this expansion.
Mm.
He is, you know, obviously voiced by Metzen, who said, you know, I'm going to keep on voicing him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe. Again, I like to think of this potentially being Rathian again,
okay.
just because he's the dragon aspect of Earth, if there were aspects still. But as a black dragon, he is from the Earth.
And you think and two of these prophecies could be about the same guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think, because I think Sylvanas could be a few, and I think, I don't know. That's what we find out.
All right.
But from the Earth, he draws strength. Our Earth, our strength. Basically, what it's saying is that whoever this character is being corrupted or is empowered and emboldened by the old gods. Whether or not they know it, we don't know.
Right.
But, for example, Thrall, he draws strength from the elements, which is less so the Earth.
Good point.
Whilst they are kind of, in some ways, one and the same, they're also very different. So I don't think it's Thrall. And equally, I can't imagine them making Thrall a pawn or a baddie or
another corrupted, sure.
Yeah. Exactly. To me, it kind of feels like Rathian makes sense, maybe even Ebonhorn, just in terms of them being black dragons sure. and being from the Earth.
Sure. Plus they're big giant, actually, those are big fun bosses to fight, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think it was meant to be N'Zoth that corrupted Deathwing originally.
Yeah.
Might have been Yogg-Saron.
Right.
But I think it was N'Zoth
right.
because of him being so low in the deeps of the Earth.
Well, if we're truly being played, there's no reason to think that Thrall might not be a pawn in this game, but not a corrupted pawn. He just might
a dumb idiot.
Yeah.
Which, let's face it, the world is filled with. So I think this one's interesting. Again, we know it's a he, and we know that they draw strength mm-hmm. from the Earth.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think this is interesting. Maybe not as exciting or divisive.
Mm.
Maybe. You know, it'd be interesting to see where it goes.
All right. Another quote here.
Yeah. Next one.
All right.
Its surface blazes bright, masking shadows below.
I assume he's still talking about the Earth he just mentioned, right?
Well, not necessarily.
Okay.
So its surface blazes light, masking the shadow below. So the Well of Eternity was always described as this kind of blindingly bright font of power. Now, again, if this is at the bottom of the maelstrom,
yeah.
maybe it's really bright and like, oh, it's beautiful. And maybe it masks all the old god corruption right below the surface.
Mm.
Maybe
it's like a storage container.
Well.
Yeah.
So maybe when we do the Nighthold, we see the Nightwell, and maybe below that is the old gods.
Mm.
Maybe the Nightwell itself, rather than be the essence of the Titan, is the essence and blood of the old gods.
So you don't think it's metaphysical? You don't think it's metaphorical? You think there's a physical place, someplace that's hiding this great fount of corruption somewhere on Azeroth?
I think so. I would like so.
Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong. And maybe it is, you know, kind of very ethereal, like, you know, the power was inside you all along. All you needed to do was believe. You know, I kind of like it being that there's something there. But we'll see. So its surface blazes light, masking shadow below, I think refers to one of the many fonts of power in Azeroth.
Okay.
Now, we know that the Sunwell is very bright.
Yeah.
It was originally made from the Well of Eternity, just a vial of that went in there.
Mm-hmm.
It then was purified by Anaru and now has holy power running through it, which in and of itself is light. It's also where they summoned Kil'jaeden through at the end of the Burning Crusade. So as to whether or not it is fully purified, I don't know. Would they want to have any activity happen up in Silvermoon? Or you know, beyond that, up in the Isle of Quel'Danas?
Yeah, that could be interesting.
Maybe. Maybe
it's a little it's a little texture poor up there right now, so I don't know if they want.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I mean, what you've got to look at is you can't fly in Silvermoon City still,
yeah,
because literally they can't load that into their tool set anymore.
Yeah,
it's so kind of cheated together that really they need an excuse to make Silvermoon again.
Yeah,
so really they either need to rebuild the whole of Silvermoon in terms of a big kind of hey, elves, we've done it, we've finally, you know, cleanse all the Scourge corruption.
All those autonomous brooms have finally finished their job. Yeah.
Or they just kind of level the place. Yeah. Basically, the art team needs an excuse. It's kind of like what they did with Stormwind and Orgrimmar. They were like, these are the main hubs. We should really tart them up and bring them up to date.
Sure.
So they made them the hub for an expansion.
I like that idea.
And put story in there with Deathwing burning stuff left, right, and center.
Yeah, yeah.
So who knows?
Yeah.
I think that this is, again, just one of those lines that kind of feeds into other stuff and kind of builds the overall context of things aren't necessarily as they seem. Mm. And that's the big thing with the old gods.
There's stuff stirring somewhere.
There's always stuff bubbling below the surface.
Yeah.
No matter how good you think it's going,
maybe
it's not going that well.
Yeah, and they're whispering weird shit, so you should be paying attention to it.
Exactly, exactly. Let's hit the next one.
All right, here's the next one, folks. Here you go.
To find him, drown yourself in the circle of stars.
All right, the him in question.
Right. So again, if we're taking these in sequence, could be from the earth he draws strength, our earth, our strength. So it could be, maybe they're talking about N'Zoth.
Mm.
And so N'Zoth draws strength from the earth, which is their earth and their strength. But then that's kind of, is he drawing strength from himself? I don't know.
Yeah.
But to find him, this is the, you know, the old gods talking about, you know, potentially N'Zoth, drown yourself in the circle of stars. So if we take, you know, Court of Stars, as you pointed out, is in Suramar.
Yep.
Suramar's a big circle.
Right.
It's a big old place,
mm-hmm.
Reminiscent of the stars, the night.
It's like a crescent.
The night fallen.
Mm-hmm.
The night is a lot of crescent, it's a lot of night imagery.
Yeah.
So the circle of stars kind of makes a lot of sense.
Mm.
Drowning yourself would probably be quite enjoyable in the night well. you know, you could get high on power and energy, arcane powers. So again, if that well was made up of the essence of N'Zoth, maybe that's where, you know, you get him. Maybe that well is built on top of the prison of N'Zoth.
Well, could all this ley line stuff we're doing and reactivating old weird, what's this hole in the ground? Let's see what we can do. All these withered weirdos. Like,
what you've got to bear in mind is we're heading to the Tomb of Sargeras, which used to be an elven temple to a loon that was actually connected via land bridge to Suramar.
Right.
And it was only in the Sundering that all of that got messed up.
Right.
So it was then risen by Aegwynn, who was Medivh's mum, who defeated the avatar of Sargeras to imprison him there.
Yeah.
As to why, we're not too sure. Like, why there specifically? What's special about there? Was it just like, hey, I'll raise this place up and then we can hide it under the water again? Is it something where the corruption of Sargeras was already, you know, kind of working her to make sure, you know, was that part of his plan all along? Like, I need to get defeated and taken there.
Was she the guardian before him? Was there a guardian?
She was the guardian before Medivh. She was Medivh's mum.
Okay.
Previous to that, they were all chosen by the council of Trisful. She was the one, though, who said, now I'm not giving up my powers. I'm going to pick my own guardian next. I don't trust any of you guys. And I'm going to pick, my son, Medivh.
Oh, wow. That is a bold move. I don't know, this is a different storyline, but was there resistance to that?
Did they contest it? Yeah. I think so. Could they do anything about it? No.
Yeah.
You know, she's the most powerful, you know, mage in the world.
Yeah.
Obviously, at some point, she hands over her powers to Medivh,
mm-hmm.
Later regrets.
Well, yeah, thank goodness, like, he didn't flub that up. Thank goodness he didn't do anything with that power to ruin anything. Thank goodness.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
So to find him, drown yourself in the circle of stars, I think is most likely something to do with Suramar.
Mm.
Now, it could be...
what if it's a hot tub in Hollywood?
Exactly. It could be something up in Alduar.
Yeah.
You know, we've got that whole room of stars where we met Algolon.
Oh, yeah, that room's cool. I could do that.
But would you drown yourself there? Would you want to go there?
By drowning, they just could mean immerse yourself in the... I mean, one of the unique things about that Algolon fight, and also the return there in the pre-patch stuff, where you're hanging out with, not Magni, but the other Bronzebeard, and you go in there...
Brad.
And you talk to people and do stuff in there. you're reminded that, man, this room is all-encompassing. The floor is translucent. You are like in space. It's this weird
it's
thing.
Really
and maybe
cool.
That's what they mean. Maybe that's what
it's
they
really
mean.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So let's keep
all right, let's keep this train pumping. Here we go. Another one.
Five keys to open our way. Five torches to light our path.
All right,
Shazam!
Okay, now this seems important, but I don't know why, so explain.
So, the pillars of creation.
Yeah.
The whole point of our quest on the Broken Isles so far. We were set in force by Magni, who was told by Azeroth herself, you need to find these titanic powers, these artifacts left behind by the Titans, that will save you by sealing the portal where the Legion is spilling forth.
All right.
Now, obviously, we're now looking at five keys to open our way. Five things are going to open the way for the old gods. Five torches to light their path, to guide them.
Mm.
Now, I would be very surprised if in our act of closing that portal, that final Legion act. So we go to Argus, we take out Kil'jaeden there, and we basically, for all intents and purposes, cut the head off the Legion, of which there's no strong guidance or cohesion behind it, and it would just kind of fall apart for however long.
Yeah.
We come back very full of ourselves. We're really happy of how well we've done. And we shut the portal behind us.
Sure.
In doing so, using those five pillars of creation, shutting the portal above the tomb of Sargeras, potentially that then opens up below Suramar, if it is in the Nightwell, maybe we open up the prison of N'Zoth.
Oh, man.
And from that act of trying to seal us away from this far but horrid evil, we open ourselves up to a very close, very near, very evil, evil. And that, to me, is such a sucker punch.
Yeah.
Such a thing where people always complain, oh, we always win in Warcraft. Why do we always win?
Mm-hmm.
There's never any drama. There's never any suspense. We always win.
Mm.
Well, what if this time, we win, but did we?
Yeah.
Like,
it's your kids, Marty, basically.
We just screwed ourselves over.
Yeah.
Like, all of this, when you look at everything that's led us to this point, we have been the ones to balls it up.
Yeah.
To that point.
How noble our intent.
Yeah.
We were the ones to screw it up. Yeah.
We just thought, we can't be doing wrong, surely. I mean, it's Magni. I trust Magni. Pillars of creation, that's fine. Everyone's like, whoa, we don't touch those. Those are like super, super powerful things.
Yeah.
And like Adelai, who was the first guardian, was like, no. And then we're like, but we need them. Oh, okay then. Here you go. You can find a book. I left it in Karazhan. He was just like the most Canadian guardian of them all.
Any connection to any of this? Do you think that there are five factions in the world? The Alliance, Horde, Burning Legion, Scourge, and then the fifth being other races, kind of all lumped together?
I think when you have to lump everyone else together and just say other races, I would say there's not five. but I think I'm fairly sure this is about the fact that we are going to mess up with the pillars.
Mm.
So basically, to give you a timeline, in 715, we go to the Nighthold, we defeat Gul'dan, and we get the final pillar of creation that he holds, which is the Eyes of Amonthul. Mm. That's the final pillar. With that, we've then got enough to shut the portal down there and then. Mm. Spoilers for 7.15 content now, guys, but I'm going to have to spoil it for this to make any sense. So if you don't want to listen any further, thanks for joining us. for those of you who are staying on, that fight basically is about the soul of Illidan. So Illidan's body is actually in a big warden crystal. Mm. So he was imprisoned by Maeve Shadow Song.
Yeah, and her big stupid armor, dumb shoulder pad things, and her dumb head helmet.
Big,
yeah.
Like armored eyebrows, is it? What's
it's
the point of it on my head?
So stupid. Anyway.
It's weird. Maybe that's her ears. I don't know, but it's strange.
Her. Yeah.
Anyway, so she imprisons Illidan's body in this crystal and takes it away because she understands that he is so much part demon now that his soul will wander the Twisting Nether and eventually could coalesce into a physical form.
Yeah.
However, if she's got his physical form already imprisoned and locked up in her vault, he can't do anything but just float around and be completely useless and, you know, probably a bit miffed about it. So she's quite happy with that.
Imprisoned but then for the first 1,000 years. Sorry, go ahead.
10,000 years.
I can't help it. Say it in my head.
For obviously the first thing Gul'dan does is he opens a portal and then he steals Illidan's body. So we saw in fact, the first CG cinematic we saw was Gul'dan igniting a torch and then illuminating this crystal with Illidan in stasis within it. So that fight basically involves Gul'dan trying to use Illidan's form as a new avatar to handle a portion of Sargeras's soul.
Oh, man.
So Sargeras is going to use Illidan as a very immensely strong mortal or immortal form that will allow him to almost be here on Azeroth.
Oh, that'd be such a bummer if that happens, though. That's a bummer.
It would be a real bummer, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So the thing is obviously we, the heroes, are there. And we've got Khadgar there as well. And Khadgar has Light's Heart. Mm. And this and is using Light's Heart to capture Illidan's soul in that. So we're trying to preserve Illidan's soul whilst also trying to free up his body.
Yeah.
We manage it somehow. And Illidan returns. Mm. So we have Illidan back. And so we now have all the pillars and we've got Illidan. And Illidan says, like, whoa, hang on. You've seen what I've seen. Mm. You know how bad the Legion is. We can't pass up this opportunity. We have a giant doorway that goes both ways. Mm. Medivh says at the end of Karazhan, like, sometimes, you know, you gotta go into the unknown.
Yeah.
To, you know, you gotta use an opportunity.
You gotta take the risk, even though you don't know what's over there necessarily.
Even though we then, in theory, have the tools required to shut down that portal in 715, we aren't gonna do that straight away. Mm. And so that portal's above the Tomb of Sargeras, which is 7.2. Mm-hmm. And I'm fairly sure we need to fight our way to that. Now, up the Tomb of Sargeras is a dungeon. It's a mythic dungeon that we'll compete in. Down the Tomb of Sargeras is a raid.
Yes.
The Tomb of Sargeras. And that is where we will face up against the corrupted avatar of Sargeras, which Maeguin put there all those years before.
Right.
The reason it is how it is. And also kill Jaeden. Mm. So we are now in a place where we're kicking off all of these big things. And then we've been told that at the end of that encounter and that patch of content, we're going to be going to Argus.
To Argus, yeah.
Now, chiefly to me, that says we hop in through that pool. Now, we do know that the Exodar is being repaired.
Yeah.
We know the Demon Hunters have a Legion spaceship as well. Mm-hmm. We also know that Argus is a really long way away. So it would make sense that the way we're getting there is through the big portal.
There's always a portal. I mean, if it's not that portal, it is a portal. There's no way it's some other
pilgrimage. So if we think of something like the Isle of Quel'Danas, where we had a patch content that was a big zone, potentially that's what we'll see with Argus.
I think that's the sort of thing
some
exciting.
People would be like, would we be, you know, would this be a whole expansion? I think this is literally, we're going to be there with Kil'jaeden's palace and other stuff, and we're going to have something similar to the Broken Shore, but bigger and more you know,
world
entrenched.
World quests that are that contribute to both rep and a cause like Quell Kuldanis did. Like, yeah, I really can see that.
And even then, we know we've got some of those things happening on the Broken Shore,
yeah,
where we're choosing what things we unlock first. You know, do we want the Mage Tower? Do we want the such and such? You know, there'll be things like that. And I think, I think that potentially has some more stuff to it. So we've got a couple more things to talk through.
All right.
Even though we've kind of gone closer to the end. But let's listen to
We'll do a couple more of these. So here you go.
Flesh is his gift. He is your true creator.
All right. Flesh is his gift.
The curse of flesh was actually something from Yogg-Saron.
Mm.
So most of the mortal races on Azeroth were Titan in construction.
Yeah.
And they were made of metal and stone. And we did Titan things until the old god Yogg-Saron.
What is Titan things, by the way? What is that?
Titan stuff. You know, just tidying, just organizing. They're very anal, the Titans. They're like, you know, they come across someplace. I'd like them to be a little bit more kind of like bodacious and just kind of like, hey, man, what's going on? Oh, man, I love what you've done with the place.
Yeah.
But they're a lot more like kind of, so those mountains aren't high enough.
Yeah.
We must make those mountains higher. That lake is far too blue. It must be less blue than that. And they brought order, and that was their thing. And they used their Titanforge creations to help with that and also to battle, you know, insectoid races.
Right.
And meaty manifestations of the void. Mm. You know, just the normal stuff.
Yeah.
So Yogg-Saron did the Curse of Flesh. Currently, that's our understanding.
The Curse of Flesh meaning we are mortal and we can get sick and die.
It means we have free will,
yeah,
which we didn't have before
yeah.
when we were these Titanic constructions.
Sure.
So actually, they gave us the strength we needed to defeat them. Mm. In your face, old gods.
Yeah.
But they're saying, so flesh is his gift. He is your true creator. So, you know, at the same time, we've kind of been thinking that when he talks about he and his master, that he's talking about N'Zoth.
Yeah.
So maybe N'Zoth was involved in the Curse of Flesh as well. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's a retcon. Maybe it's always been that way and I just haven't really understood it properly.
I like the Yogg-Saron idea is cool though, because flesh is his gift, meaning he gave it to us, and he is your true creator, meaning without it you are nothing. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, we are products of that.
Mm.
Now, obviously, I think any trolls in this would be like, "Well, you're talking about man, you know, not none of that," because trolls kind of organically grew.
Oh, they did. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, exactly. Trolls are one of the few races that kind of spill out of just life.
Just kind of an evolutionary
thing. And then from trolls who lived near the Well of Eternity, they ended up getting a little bit smarter. Well, that's offensive. But a little bit more attractive. Again, that's offensive. And they became elves.
Yeah, which is very offensive.
The elves came from the trolls.
Yeah.
Anywho, so the flesh is his gift, and he is your true creator. Almost like saying, like, hey, you're one of us.
Yeah.
Why are you fighting us?
Yeah.
You know, this is... You shouldn't be fighting for these gods. You should be fighting for our gods, the old gods.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting distinction.
Yeah.
But we will see.
Yeah.
And I think there should be, one more line.
Here we go, one more line.
The Lord of Ravens will turn the key.
So Khadgar, then.
Shit wizard time. Yes, potentially. So... Obviously, the thing is now we do have Medivh is back. You know, we've run Karazhan. He's there. He flew off into the void, speaking about how, we got a lot of work to do. It's like, oh, cheers, Medivh. Oh, you go away then, mate. Don't worry, I got it. So, potentially.
Yeah.
Equally, Khadgar is is notorious for ballsing stuff up in the most endearing way.
Yeah, well, when you say shit wizard, by the way, people listening who've never heard him say this, he's talking about Khadgar. He's the shit wizard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because he ballses up a lot. Equally, though, the Lord of Ravens. So the reason it's Lord of Ravens, obviously, Medivh and Khadgar both turn into a raven thanks to Atiesh, the great staff.
Yeah.
Does that make them the Lord of Ravens?
Mm.
I'm not too sure.
Yeah.
There's also a Lord of Ravens from Norse mythology. And his name is Odin.
Mm.
So the old prime designate, Odin, the titanic keeper and watcher that lives up in the Halls of Valor, that the Halls of Valor, also the Trials of Valor, being a raid experience that's coming out now, or is out now, kind of makes it seem that maybe he's got more to play.
Yeah.
So currently, Odin is imprisoned in the Halls of Valor by Helya. Now, Helya was turned into like the first Valkyr by Odin, kind of as a bit of a trick.
Yeah.
So she doesn't like Odin that much.
No, she's the Hades in this Greek.
Exactly. Yeah. So Helya, along with Loken, plotted, and they used the same magics they use to lock the elementals in the elemental plane to lock Odin and his Valajar in the Halls of Valor,
right,
which then also kind of, you know, is up in the sky,
right,
in their cool sky castle.
Sure.
So potentially the Lord of Ravens refers to Odin.
Mm.
Now, people who've played through Stormheim and met I think his name is like Helgi or whatever his name was.
Right, the one that's in disguise and then...
Yeah, who's Odin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you'll notice he has two pet ravens.
Yeah, he does.
You know, he's always synonymous with ravens.
Yeah, I think that's, so, that's a good call, actually.
If the Lord of Ravens is going to turn the key, what is this, you know, this commander of the mightiest army that is on Azeroth, albeit they're all shut away at the moment.
Yeah.
But assuming we do well in this raid and we manage to find a way to allow them out, is he a good guy?
Mm.
Is he a bad guy? Is he gonna inadvertently balls things up? Is he, when he turns the key, is that him, you know, engaging the Pillars of Creation? Is that something that he will do, or is that something that Khadgar would do? You know, we're keeping the pillars up in Dalaran for safekeeping.
Mm-hmm.
Is he the one who's gonna turn the key? But basically, in turning that key, we're talking about five keys to open our way.
Yeah.
Five torches to light a path. So to turn the key, is it those five pillars of creation? And will it be Khadgar or Odin or Medivh? I hope not Medivh, just because, you know, he's been corrupted and redeemed.
And then re-corrupted. And yeah, it's like...
I hope it's not that he ballses up again.
Yeah.
Khadgar, I can totally see him being like, whoops. but I kind of like the idea it's Odin.
I kind of like the idea that this guy
who's so overconfident with his own power and that of his way, the reason he left the other Titanic Watchers is because he disagreed with the empowering of the dragon aspects.
Right.
He didn't think it was right for the Titanic Watchers to pass on the mantle to non-Titanic creations.
Yeah.
The dragons were coalesced elements that were kind of near the Well of Eternity and hadn't been imprisoned into the elemental plane, and they kind of evolved through into these organic proto-drakes that were dragons.
Mm-hmm.
And later, five of the bravest helped take down Galakrond, the biggest and baddest, with the help of Tyr, one of the Titanic Watchers. And in return, all the Titans were like, yeah, man, you guys have got this. And they became the dragon aspects.
Right.
So I kind of like the idea that the Lord of Ravens, the guy who thought he had all the answers and thought everyone else was wrong, is the one who potentially dooms us all.
There is a cockiness and a hubris to that guy that would make that a very interesting twist, for sure.
Plus, I'm fed up of proving myself to him every time.
Yep,
every on my time. Warrior, he's like, oh, man, you died, but I think you've got something in you, so I'm resing you, and you're now in charge of my armies. I'm like, sweet, cheers, Odin.
Yeah.
And I get to Stormheim. He's like, yeah, you know, I trust you with my armies. I'm not sure I trust you with this pillar of creation, though. So you got to prove yourself again.
Mm.
And then it's like, okay, yeah, maybe. Okay, cool. Yeah, go on into the Halls of Valor then, and you can prove yourself there. And then I kick everyone's butts. I kill God King Scoville. And he's like, you know what? There's one last thing. Why don't you try and see if you can beat me? Prove yourself again. And he's like, oh, come on, Odin. And then in the new raid, you get to fight Odin again. Come on, Odin.
But, Ralph asks, isn't Anzu the Raven Lord? I don't know who that is.
So Anzu is from, we met him in Burning Crusade, who's actually the Raven Lord, you know, that mount that people try and farm and never get. Or maybe that's just me.
Yeah, no, that's
also part
also
of
me.
The kind of druid epic flight form
right.
Quest back in the day.
Mm-hmm. I remember
I
now.
I don't think so, just because it's so removed in that it's actually a different planet and an old time ago.
Yeah.
But he technically is a Raven Lord or Lord of Ravens, but I do not believe it to be the Lord of Ravens that we're talking about here. Otherwise, I mean, that's feels super shoehorned in terms of like this kind of Raven deity comes in.
Yeah, you can just walk in and go, yo, what's up, everybody?
I don't know, exactly. It's almost like, I don't know, maybe there's like a cool kind of fulcrum of energy and it's shutting it down, but then he's just flying around minding his own business and then squawk, he flies into it and it redirects down and frees the old gods. Maybe.
Right.
I like to think that this is something like Odin being the big bad.
I'm with you.
Being the big balls up.
I like that idea. I have an overarching question about this whispering eyeball.
So I think we've done them all.
Yeah, we have. And then therefore that's where my question comes in. Why is it Ilagoth's or Gilganoth's job to be this to be this dude? Well, why is
it's
he
weird.
The one?
So he's the heart of corruption. So he's potentially the element that N'Zoth used to corrupt the nightmare, the dream into the nightmare to begin with.
Okay.
Maybe he's the thing that's forced through. So maybe he's a lieutenant, a general of the old god's armies.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he is a strategist in his own way. And maybe there's an inevitability about this. This is all future prophecy. So either they can see through time, which kind of can happen in Warcraft, certainly in the past. And Nozdormu was shown his own death, which kind of drove him insane and turned him into Murazand.
Yeah, that was bad.
But it may also be that for this to come true, we need to be told it. Mm. In some weird way.
But does he have motivations to help us, or is it motivations to confuse us?
I think it's purely this confidence. I think it's overconfidence.
Mm.
And just like any Bond villain ever, they're like, you know what? You're going to die. Mm. But before you do, let me just tell you this. Or, you know, that it's, you know, it doesn't matter. I can tell you. There is nothing you can do to stop this.
Right. And here's all my cryptic bullshit, and you have to just take it.
Exactly. And yeah. I don't even think necessarily that the cryptic stuff is, you know, to try and gazump us.
Yeah.
I think that's just how they talk.
Okay.
I think they talk in riddles. They talk in maddening whispers that confuse you and drive you insane. That's kind of their shtick. So I'll be interested to see what we can kind of draw parallels back to. But I think that this is very cool.
Yeah.
I think that there's so many cool things that have come out of Legion, and it's really elevated the Warcraft story and put it forefront. Yeah. They've got so many more tools they can use now. The in-game cinematics team have just been working overtime, and we're getting all these cool in-game cinematics all the time. You know, the one in Val Shahara where Ysera gets called up.
Yeah.
That for me, whilst also being just hugely emotional, and it's like trying to explain to someone who doesn't play WoW why you're getting all kind of, you know, teary over a dragon, and you'd be like, "Nah, you weren't there, man. You weren't there."
you had to be there.
But
yeah, it's the one on my alts that I keep rewatching on my alts. Like when I get to that point, I don't skip it.
Oh, you have to, exactly. Yeah. And the thing is, you have a loon physically represented there, and it's again, it's silvery tendrils.
Mm-hmm.
So we see tendrils typically with old gods and with the void, but yet they're silvery and light. And so I love this kind of this hint that a loon, this kind of primordial deity that we really don't know much about anything of, is potentially of the same fabric as the void lords and other entities like that, but seemingly very much on our side. And I think that's super cool.
Mm.
I really like the idea, kind of like how in the Paladin class campaign now, we've been given a holy dreadlord. So dreadlords we've only ever encountered as these demonic, evil master manipulator bat things. And now we found one that's been kind of corrupted by the light.
Mm.
And, you know, their default state is very much not what he is.
Mm.
But holy balls, is he the coolest character you've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I just think that they've done so many cool things with Legion and the lore. And I love talking about it. I hope you love talking about it and listening as well at home.
I agree.
And I think that, you know, this is the second time we've done this.
Yep.
And it's still very much like Azeroth, you know, when the Titans just arrived.
Yeah.
You know, it can be shaped.
It can be.
We can be. We need input. We love hearing your thoughts on it all, what you liked, what you didn't like.
Yeah.
Do we have time to do questions, Scott?
Yeah, let's do some quick questions from the audience. Somebody.
Being live, we should.
Yeah, since we're live, we may as well do some quick questions. We'll take three or four of them. So if you were in the chat and you would like to ask any questions about anything we've talked about or otherwise, like maybe you have a question about maybe future topics or whatever, go ahead and put them in there. I will read this one. Wind Gem in the chat says it's Val Shara. There's no A at the end.
Val Shara.
But I will say this.
I think I'm going to butcher everything anyway.
Yeah, it's fine.
And if I had words in front of me, then I'd have more of an excuse, but I don't.
Well, it's also important. It's important to note that I heard multiple, including story dev, Blizzard people on stage at BlizzCon saying it Val Shara. So
the amount of people who on the Hearthstone team who call it Hearthstone.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, hang on, is it Hearthstone or Hearthstone? Yeah, I've always called it Hearthstone.
Same. Yeah.
You said Hearthstone.
They kept doing
and
it.
It's, yeah.
It was weird.
It throws you off. It does, and I apologize. And I can, like, as with everything on this show, please listen to a professional.
Yeah.
You know, we are extremely passionate fans of the lore.
Yeah.
We're
not going to get every word right. Or yeah. Also, it's up to interpretation. Miko in the chat asked, "Does
and it's an English accent. Play the race card.
Yeah, no
kidding. Because I'm English.
Yeah, you're white and English. Miko says, does Garona have a major role again, do you believe, in the story of of Azeroth?
Not yet. She was brought back in Warlords of Draenor. As almost like a, hey, here she is again. And, you know, we kind of freed her from some of that dark control and she was our legendary follower. I don't think we're going to see her again. I don't know if she shows up in the Rogue class campaign.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be surprised if she didn't, in all fairness. But I've yet to play through it, so I don't know. But, yeah, I'm sure Blizzard... I mean, my favorite Blizzard answer is like, we talk about that a lot. It's not something we're really actively working on at the moment. We love that idea. It's something we love her as a character. She's great.
Yeah.
But it's not something that is currently something that we're talking about.
You listen
about
to enough time. Of these Q&As and you go to enough BlizzCons, you start to see the media training. And
it's just, it's how well they do it every single time, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great idea. We love that. It's something we've talked about a lot internally. Not something we can really give you much insight on today.
Yeah.
But I think great question, and yes, I love it.
Yeah,
I don't know what just happened. I just got played.
Somebody in the chat, Windgem again, says Garona is a champion in the Rogue Class Hall. That is correct, but I think the question isn't where is she. I think the question is, will she play a role in some major way? Like I could also say that, you know,
I don't think so at this point in time.
Right. Because there's plenty of, I mean, there's lots of characters that are your companions now that you found out in the world and did some quests for.
Yeah. That being said, they have announced that they are extending the class campaigns in 7.2.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, like, she will have more story. As to how wide-reaching that is, I think it will probably be something quite locally around the Rogue class experience. And I love the whole feel of the Rogue. The Rogue is like this Illuminati.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, you know, like, man, this guy, we need to take this guy out so that they can focus on killing these people over here. How can we shape the world by controlled assassinations and, oh, we need an artifact? Don't worry, I know a guy who knows a guy who robs a guy.
Right.
You know, it's like the Rogue, they've really done well with the Rogue class experience. And I think
totally
my old Rogue, I used to only PvP with back in like Burning Crusade.
Yeah.
But he sat there now. I think he's like level 90 or something like that.
Yeah.
But I'm totally going to
That hidden wall thing is my favorite thing about there. It's so great. It's so great. You guys take it for granted now because it's there.
Hidden wall, Scott? What are you talking about?
Last time I looked, I fell asleep, woke up in the infirmary.
I think it's really sad that they don't have a class hall. That's what I think. You would have thought Blizzard would have done something for them, but evidently not. Oh, well, next question.
All right, next question. Do you expect Illyria, to appear in this expansion?
Sister in this expansion, yes, potentially. So Illyria is the sister of Sylvanas and Valyria, who we've seen. So Illyria...
is she related? Hold on. Is she related to... Tirana's not related to those girls, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
They're elves, but that's also quite racist what you've just said, Scott. So anyway, y'all look alike to me. So you shouldn't, because Tirana's a night elf and they're high elves.
Yeah.
Yes, we saw Tirelion in the Light's Heart questline very quickly.
Yeah.
It was a cinematic. The team turned around in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It was nuts. That isn't Tirelion in his full form. It's kind of, you know, that was sent out a long time ago. We don't quite know what he looks like. Equally, they haven't done him a kick-ass cool model.
Yeah.
The idea is that they are currently fighting the Legion. They need our help.
Okay.
We believe them to be fighting the Legion at Argus.
Hmm.
So
all right.
The hope is in 7-3, we get to hang out with Tirelion and Illyria.
Yeah, ergo, or finally. Argo, we'll get to meet him there. Yeah.
Argus, we'll get to meet him there.
The correction in the chat room is Tyrande is a whisperer and not a windrunner. Got it. All right. How about one last one? there's a lot of jokes about how to tell a night elf girl from a regular girl happening here. Let's see. Oh, Vile asked earlier. We'll make this our final question. What about Ravencrest as potential Raven Lord?
So that's the thing. So the Blackrook Hold, if you play through that, so... He is literally Lord Ravencrest.
Right.
He is a guy that has been returned for some purpose, we assume. He was Illidan's commander back in the day. He was the strategic mastermind back for when the Legion first invaded. So maybe Ravencrest could be the Lord of Ravens. Who knows?
Yeah.
I think that's the exciting thing. I think this is why it's one of the best things to ever come out of that Department of Blizzard.
Mm.
Because everyone can draw from it different interpretations.
Yeah.
They can get their own excitement, their own fantasy of like, oh, maybe it's this, maybe it's that.
Yeah.
It creates discussion amongst friends and groups. And then we get more reveals, we get answers, we get the satisfaction, we get further questions poised.
It's like they took a page from TV right now. Like if you watch Westworld or you're into the when Lost was on or something, and regardless of how Lost ended, the process of watching Lost was so much fun, and watching Westworld is giving me that same feeling because you don't know where things are going, mysteries upon mysteries, you're left to your own devices, Reddit explodes with theories. It's like they decided, guys, with this expansion and moving forward, we'd really like to just, you know, inject some of that into this and give people a lot of mystery and not have easy answers and not have it just be two, you know, one note, two dimensional sort of story beats. That's really refreshing for any video game, let alone World of Warcraft. So
exactly.
I love
that. We are very lucky.
Yeah. We're living in a time of miracles, really, everybody.
So that about ends it for us. If you've enjoyed it, let us know.
Yeah. Let us know what you think.
We want to do more. We need to figure out how, once we do know, we'll let you guys know.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you all for listening so much. Don't forget, if you would like to be a part of this show and give your feedback, the ways that Terpster was just talking about, the ways to do that is through email. You can send us theinstance@gmail.com. You can also call and leave voicemails at 801-471-0462. Follow Terpster at @_T on Twitter, and me at Scott Johnson, of course, the show at Instance Show. We'll be back next week with more of this.
Great Master Terpster, thank you for letting me see the archives of Olden and learn the things of the stuff and the deal.
Yes, just make sure you don't open that book over there.
Oh, shit, I've done it.
It has X's on it, 3 X's. Mark the return of the demons. Do not open
it. I've done it. We're screwed. We're dead.
Who put those there?
See you next
week. That's not what I did. Oh,
next week.
My lord, look at the size of his lungs.
Oh, no, Nazoth's penis.
Oh dear.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.